This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Friday, 5 o'clock. You're on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith back with you. Rick Butler, the Bear, hanging out in the Fan Run studios. Top 5 at 5 brought to you by Citizens National Bank. Here once again, River Bailey.
Number 1. The proposal to expand the college football playoff to 12 teams is moving forward as the college football playoff's management committee on Friday agreed to present the concept to the 11 university presidents and chancellors who have the ultimate authority over the format at a meeting Tuesday in Dallas.
You gotta love the college athletics bureaucracy. We're gonna form a committee to study the feasibility of perhaps, maybe, possibly expanding in the future the college football playoff. That was like 5 years ago. This year we finally got, all right, here's what we would do if we wanted to maybe possibly think about expanding the, I was like, all right, we got that. And now, so we've gotten permission to move forward to present it to another group.
Correct.
At this rate, we will have some sort of decision or change within the next 3 years.
The format is still the same. Yeah. With the 1-4 seeds get the first round bye, and then the teams 5-12 play it out with the higher seed hosting that game. But number 2, Tony Vitello, our guest this hour, named Coach of the Year, National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association, announces that the Tennessee head coach, Tony Vitello, is the National Baseball Coach of the Year.
Big honors. And the more you win, the more they're just going to keep on coming. So pretty fantastic that Coach is being recognized for his hard work and the achievements of the program this year. And well-deserved, I say. I mean, look, Van Horn won the SEC Coach of the Year. They had a phenomenal season and everything. There's no doubt about it. But they've been to Omaha before. He's an established player in this game. They've been there before. What Tony Vitello has done in 4 short years, and specifically with this team, and even going back to last year's team that in the season that got canceled, I can't imagine. I'm not a college baseball expert. I don't know what everybody else is doing in the sport, but I can't imagine that anybody's done a better job than he has.
Number 3. Brad Stevens, the new Boston Celtics GM, makes his first blockbuster trade today. He trades Kemba Walker and a 2021 first-round draft pick to Oklahoma City in exchange for Al Horford, Moses Brown, and a 2023 second-round pick.
So Al Horford going back to Boston.
Correct, yes. Celtics are still without a head coach, though. So
cross that bridge later, and let's get the players in there first, and then we'll name the coach.
A U.S. Open update. Bubba Wallace is 4-under through the second round.
Bubba Watson.
Or, my apologies.
Bubba Wallace. Bubba Wallace. That's another sport, River. Race cars.
He is a NASCAR driver.
That's our former co-host's cousin.
I'm sorry, Trey.
Bubba.
Brooks Koepka is 1-under. He is currently playing. He is through 3 holes now. Switzerland product Richard Bland is atop the leaderboard after shooting 5-under. And Bryson DeChambeau is down the list, tied for 17th place, shooting an even par.
Bryson is 5 shots off the, so that's not bad. He shot a nice 69 today. And we'll see, you know, what Koepka comes up with. He's just getting started. Man, it would be fun to see those guys. Man, paired up this weekend. That'd be great for golf.
Talk about a guy who just about a month or two ago, we were all talking about heading into some of the tournaments. He has quickly fallen right back off the map. Jordan Spieth. He went, I think, 6 over par yesterday, finished 2 under today, but still 4 over through his total. That guy, I feel like we spent so long talking about him for a couple of weeks when he was hot, and now just no mention.
The projected cut is 2 over. Phil Mickelson, of course, was 4 over yesterday. He's just getting out there, so he's got some work to do to make the cut. But, yeah, there have been a couple of big numbers I saw yesterday. We had a couple people put up, you know, 80s, some rough numbers. Scroll down to the bottom of the leaderboard. My dude Steve Allen from Australia, 17 over.
Oh, Steve!
Rough go for Stevie boy. Christopher Crawford, 15 over. Justin Rose, who's, you know, he's usually pretty good in these majors. He's 13 over. So it happens. Sometimes you go out there and put up a big number.
And number five, former Ole Miss wide receiver and 2016 first-round draft pick Laquon Treadwell signs with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'd forgotten all about that guy.
Yes, he has been in the league for 5 years, and get this, he has caught less passes in his first 5 years in the NFL than he did in his final season at Ole Miss.
Oh, wow.
Seems as if Urban Meyer is just getting these old SEC college stars along with Tim Tebow to join his team, and he tried out Monday. Urban liked how he looked, and they signed him.
What a number. Urban getting the SEC guys back together.
Yeah.
I'm sure Laquon Treadwell went from I believe grew up in the Chicago area. I'm sure he went to Ole Miss. I'm sure there was no funny business going on there with Hugh Freeze recruiting him down there.
No.
They had a very respectable program.
Yeah, sure. Everything was on the up and up. All right, thank you, River. There's the Top 5 at 5 brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive, online at cnbtn.com. Free checking accounts at Citizens National Bank with free internet banking, free bill paying, and free e-statements, no minimum balance requirement, and extended evening hours for your convenience offered at area grocery stores and Saturday banking. As well, for a branch near you, again, cnbtn.com, or just call 865-453-9031 to speak to a banker today. Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. Massive show today, and we've got about 53 strong-ass minutes, Will Wade, left to go today. Rusty Enzer was fabulous in hour number one. Bobby Mays was fantastic in hour number two. And coming up here in about 13 minutes, Tony Vitello, the head baseball coach at the University of Tennessee, scheduled to join the festivities.
All the way from Omaha.
National Coach of the Year. Not bad.
No.
Not too bad.
You guys going to this bike race tonight?
Bike race?
There's some kind of humongous cycling event in Knoxville tonight, right after we get off air.
Do we look like a couple of guys who are going to a bike race tonight?
You three dorks? Sure.
That's kind of mean. I'd say I'm more likely to run over a cyclist today than I am to actually attend a bicycling event. Isn't that just the worst when you get behind a bicyclist in the road?
Oh, my. Yes.
No, I about blew my gaskets right after I talked to you, and you told me to step on it. And you know how they had this big push where left lane, unless you're passing, you don't stay in the left lane.
I think that's a big push. I think that's been the rule for forever. The left lane's for passing.
Yeah, but they've really hit on it lately. And this this moron truck driver just would not move out of the left lane. And he was going like 8 miles an hour underneath the speed limit. He rode for a good 10 miles right next to another 18-wheeler.
Would not so be could, moved.
No. Uh-uh.
Is that what's more frustrating? Being stuck on the interstate when the trucks are doubling up, right? and you, nobody can get by them.
They do that on purpose, too, just to be jerks.
That or the stuck behind a bicyclist on a road, and you're doing just normal road, right? And
you're a bicycle is a lot easier to get out around and pass. You aren't passing two big rigs and trailers.
I guess here's the way that I look at it. Is it more that the bicyclist should be on the sidewalk, or is it more so that the 18-wheeler should know
that's more dangerous
to be in one lane?
That's the absolute worst, is when you're behind the bicyclist, he's in the road, and there's a freaking sidewalk right over there, and you're like, dude, are you serious right now?
It's dangerous for them. They don't need to be on the sidewalk. Sidewalks are for walk. Walk's the key phrase there, Russ.
I feel like it's more dangerous to be on the street where you're driving around 3-ton weapons.
What is the worst scenario? Bicyclist getting hit by a car or bicyclist running into somebody walking?
Well, I gave the guy I let him know that he was number one in my book after I finally got past him. And then he proceeded to, ride my bumper. For like the next, it was all the way up until we started going over the plateau and he couldn't keep up with me. Truckers, menace.
Yeah, but they think the same thing about you. Nothing worse for the truckers than the four-wheelers, as they call us.
They call us four-wheelers?
Yeah.
Is that what Josh said?
I don't know, but...
Big Josh? I'd like to ask him about that. I wonder, because it happens too often. Surely to God, they're not doing that just to be jerks. There's got to be a reason. Why would you line up and match speed with another 18-wheeler on a two-lane interstate?
What is nice, though, sometimes the truckers come through. Have you ever been in a traffic jam on the interstate and you see those jerks, those complete a-holes
who get out on the shoulder
and go on the shoulder and just drive on down like they're so much more important than the rest of us?
Yes, I've seen that happen. I've also seen a video where they were doing that somewhere. I think it was out west, and cars were just blowing past it. And so fast that people couldn't do that, edge over to keep them from doing that. And then towards the end of the video, they get about a quarter of a mile on up, and there was a highway patrolman.
Pulling them over. Every now and then you see the semi-truck will roll over and block them off.
Right.
And you're like, yeah. And then you team up. That's – to me, those are the moments that give me faith in humanity is when you see multiple drivers in a traffic jam teaming up so that everybody has to wait their turn in line.
Camaraderie on the road.
I've done that before.
Who are these people? Because nobody will admit to that. And yet, we've all been there, right? And I know there are people listening to us right now. You see it happen all the time, and they keep coming, and you're like, River Bailey's being awful quiet right now. He's being awful quiet. That's all I'm going to say. Are you that guy, River? Are you the guy that's just – you're so much more important than everybody else. You just get to swing on by the shoulder and just cruise on up to the – I'm getting off at the exit. It's right there. I should be able to just pass – No, that's not the deal. No. You know what you should be able to do? You should be able to get off at the exit when you get to it, just like everyone else.
Hey, the only time I travel is through Rutledge Pike when I go back home to Rogersville. That's the only time I'm really traveling. I'm not an interstate.
You didn't answer the question, though.
I don't
You've ridden the,
I
you've
don't
ridden
do
the
it,
shoulder. Don't act like you haven't.
No, I have not.
I ran a guy in an M3 up into the grass there on, 640 at Western.
That sounds more dangerous than riding a bike on the sidewalk, too.
Like, he was coming hard one morning, Russ. And I eased on over into the breakdown lane. And he kept on coming, so I eased even more. And he wasn't slowing down. Next thing you know, that guy's in the grass. Scrambling, trying to keep his car from spinning out.
When some of these people are trying to pass you and, like you said, they're using the shoulder to do so, or you can just see that a road is closed, everyone's getting over, and you know it's coming, but this person still wants to go all the way up to the construction and then try to cut, I will never, never let somebody back into the lane. If they try to cut the line by going, through the lane that's closed, I will never, never let you back in.
So what's worse?
And I'll give you one finger the whole time while we do it.
What's worse? The people that ride the shoulder in the traffic jam or the people who wait to the last minute to merge when everybody else has already merged.
To me, it's that by far. Because, look, at least if you're going to go in the exit, I'm not going to see you again. You're not going to bother me again. But at some point, I'm going to roll back up, and you're still going to be trying to cut over, probably almost causing a wreck. I just – that – it's entitlement. What makes you entitled
I'm a late merger. There, I said
people?
It. I am. I'm a late merger.
Wow. You're disgusting.
And you can go to hell.
You're disgusting.
And you can go to hell.
That's just awful.
You too, what Rogersville
makes,
boy.
What makes you better than everyone else? What makes you better?
Why do you get to wait till
I read somewhere that it's okay to do that.
Where?
I'll tell you right now, it's
Jerks
not.
Weekly?
No. Look it up.
Whenever you're going down Neyland Stadium, Neyland Drive for a big game, you know everybody's waiting to get in GTN or go up Lake Loudon, and there's that one guy.
That one guy.
Just trying to get in.
He's just more important than you, River. It's Bear. He doesn't have to wait. The rules don't apply to him. He just gets to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants.
If they want me to merge before then, they ought to line up the cones before then. It's not like I'm using a breakdown.
You know what they could have a sign that says merge now. Oh, that doesn't apply to you.
Then why don't they set the cones up so you can't keep going?
They do.
Marinate on that.
They do. At the last moment where you can't.
Right.
And they also can't set it up for 10 miles beforehand.
Yeah, so I'm riding all the way till I have to get over.
That's horrible. It's horrible. I'm disappointed in you.
I don't care.
Man.
Not surprising.
Mom and Dad are disappointed. You think I give a damn whether or not Rick Butler's disappointed in me?
Wow.
You know how many people I've disappointed in my life?
Wow.
Sister Louise, Sister Jolita, my parents, my grandparents, Russell, my exes. The Cub I've done a pretty good job with. My nephews, my nieces, pretty much my entire family. Various educators that tried to work with me.
These late mergers, man.
It's unbelievable.
Late merge. You can't trust them.
This is going to be your Rickard Rich barbecue smoking hot question of the day. What's worse, the shoulder riders in a traffic jam
the shoulder riders.
The late mergers?
The shoulder riders, because that is dangerous. Because typically,
you don't get a vote. You don't get to come out as a late merger and then say, oh, the other guys are worse.
Well, yeah, because it's more dangerous. A lot more dangerous. Because usually a traffic jam, especially on an interstate, usually involves a traffic accident.
The late mergers.
There's a reason they call it an emergency lane.
The late mergers are just as dangerous because they expect everybody to stop, and if they don't, they're just gonna slide right on in there.
Yep.
You're gonna wait on anybody. I bet you don't even use your turn signal, do you? You just slide right on in. You're not even asked for permission.
Oh,
here I come.
Oh.
I'm Bear, and I'm coming in.
Pretty much.
Wow. Well, okay. All right. That's sad, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us. You know who's not sad? Tony Vitello. And he joins the show live from Omaha. Coming up next, right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Take your week.
All right, welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Rick cruising along with you. Friday afternoon edition of the show. Pleased to be joined right now by your National Coach of the Year, is voted on by the National College Baseball Writers Association, Tony Vitello, joining us live from Omaha, where the Vols getting set to get it on Sunday in the College World Series. Coach, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon. As you said, Sunday afternoon. It can't get here quick enough. We're enjoying ourselves here, but you obviously got a little break in the action that we're patiently waiting to end.
Oh, man, so set the stage for us, Coach. I'm imagining your team lounging by the pool, Hawaiian Tropic bikini girls feeding them grapes, one of your outfielders inexplicably donning a Speedo and the pink daddy hat. Is this an accurate mental picture?
No, I think you watched Christmas Vacation recently with Cousin Eddie. You know, he forgot about the wife beater Cousin Eddie has on. But no, our guys, I think, I think they make fairly good decisions. We don't really babysit them when we're on the road. Our itinerary is, revolving around our training each day. When we feed them those meals and the rest is kind of up to them, we all stay in contact with our group me. And, you know, eventually you're going to have to trust them. I mean, our schedule, again, is a little different than basketball or football. There's more downtime, especially with this event. They've turned it into an extended event. It's a great moneymaker for the city, ESPN. There's a lot of pageantry to it. But, again, I trust our guys. It's one of the reasons why I'm not as crazy as I'd like to be in the dugout. You know, there's a lot of trust that's been earned there.
Would you rather be playing tomorrow, just go ahead and get out there, or are you fine with it the way the schedule shook out?
You know, I kind of like the fact our guys were fairly new to Hoover, and if you recall, we did not play on Tuesday the first day. So, to me, one more day doesn't make a difference. I could have gone, you know, you like your jam on the toast evenly spread a little bit. It was a quick turnaround from the win. We crammed in a lot before we got here, and then there's a lot of downtime when we got here. So, if anything, you'd like that hecticness to even out a little bit. But once the weekend's here, I think it's actually to the four teams' benefit that can kind of see how Saturday goes. I mean, even just little quirky things like how the anthem is done or the commercial breaks, and they've got cameras on the field. It could help our guys to just see that and envision what it's going to be like for them before we actually do it.
Will you take a little moment on Sunday to just soak it in, enjoy the atmosphere before the game starts, or is there even time once you're at the stadium like that?
We're the first game, so it'll be a little bit more relaxed, a little more structured and scheduled is probably the better way to say it. So I think there's time for that. And, you know, we've encouraged our guys to enjoy it. And I mean, it's an experience they've earned. They should at least relish in it a little bit. But it's got to be secondary, if not fourth, fifth, sixth on their priority list of why we're here. And as Coach Delmonico used to tell his teams, there's usually two types of teams that are in Omaha. You know, ones that are here to enjoy it and celebrate their seasons, and ones that are here to try and win the thing. And I hope that we're in the category of the latter. Mm.
Tony Vitello with us this afternoon. Coach, congratulations. National Coach of the Year by the Baseball Writers Association. And I know that you're kind of the toast of the town locally. It's got to be good, though, to be recognized nationally for what you've accomplished this season.
You know, it's one more thing you owe a debt of gratitude to the players, although the players were teasing the heck out of me this morning because, you know, I think it's fair to teach these kids that things that are voted on, the Oscars and anything, there's an asterisk there. Now, a game, on the other hand, even though you've got umpires and things like that, there's a clear winner. You either win or you lose. So with awards like this, I mean, it's certainly an honor for anyone to get anything into the year like some of our players have. And this, to me, is kind of a staff award. The people who are truly in college baseball, kind of in the know, I should say, they know what we got going on with our pitching coach as well as the rest of our staff. And I mentioned that earlier today, and it's a good award for the staff to kind of reflect on once this whole thing is over with this year.
All right, question from the audience. Coach Vitello, how often at all does the daddy hat get washed?
I don't think at all. That's the first time I've been up close, and I was not aware I was going to be on social media 15 minutes after that thing. That was supposed to be a fun, the players, that was the definition of peer pressure. They forced me into jumping into their little deal, and that thing went on my head, and it doesn't smell good, and it certainly doesn't look like it's been washed, but it's kind of like the Stanley Cup after it's been passed around for a couple months. You love everything about it, regardless if it's positive or negative. You love it.
All right. Well, just my opinion. Don't pour any champagne and drink it out of that. If you guys happen to win it all,
sounds good to me. We'll try and win this first tournament and get to that championship series. Then we can talk about stogies and champagne, maybe.
There you go. All right, Coach. I just remember last year talking to you about this time. The season had been canceled. And you said on our show that you thought last year's team had the look of an Omaha team. Has it sunk in yet that wasn't just wishful thinking and your program truly has risen to this level?
No, I think it had. And you trying not to come off like a jerk in media you know, settings when you're responding to questions. And post-game, one of those games in there, I thought that last year's team could have done it was the gist of the whole deal. And it's easy for people to say because, again, you can't vote on that. There's no actual outcome. But the core of this team that's here now was last year's. And there were some prospects in there that we lost to the draft that were pretty good as well. I will say this, though. It's not as easy as fans want to make it out to be. Of course, everyone says once you get here, win the whole thing. And then if you come here 1 year, all the fans say, let's go back next year. It takes a lot of things to happen for a team to make it here, regardless of how good you are. But I do think in my heart of hearts, last year's team had the talent, and it was a different kind of chemistry than this year's group does, but it was a strong chemistry that group had.
Tony Vitello with us on the drive this afternoon. Coach, you've got Virginia on Sunday. What are your thoughts on the Cavaliers, and have you decided on a starting pitcher yet?
Yeah, Chad Dallas will start for us, and I've tried to leave the players alone when we don't have to bother them on the group meet, but one picture I wanted to send was the one that was publicized of him throwing the ball in the rain, yeah. Rain coming off. That's the definition of who he is. He's not scared of anything. He's our guy that leads us into each weekend. I really don't feel like one of our three starters is better or worse than the other because they're all very different. And then you can even throw in Camden Sewell if we don't use him out of the bullpen. I don't think he's only experienced behind those guys. I don't think it's necessarily what he brings to the table. So, but what's the formula has been for us is Cheese, as Chad's dad affectionately calls him, is the guy that leads us out of the gates. And he'll do that on Sunday for us. And the storyline is playing a Virginia team that's very familiar with Omaha, a coaching staff that's been there and been successful for a long time, and a very, very talented left-handed pitcher that's got a ton of experience with Abbott on the mound going against us. So it'll be everything that it's built up to be as being an Omaha game.
Awesome. A lot of talk this week about the size of the ballpark there, how much bigger it is than Lindsey Nelson. Do the bigger dimensions of the park, does that change your approach offensively at all, or is it pretty much just see the ball and hit it as hard as you can at this point?
I think it could, based off of your team personnel and then also maybe how you go about things. But with our team, it's one of the things we've bragged about to you all or have answered questions is there's been a lot of different ways that this team has won, and there's been a lot of different individuals that have been the catalyst for any one win we've had. So I think it's kind of just do more of the same. And it'll definitely be a factor. There may be a ball hit that normally you'd say that could have got out, or there'll be a ball that maybe even sneaks out because of the wind's blowing or whatever. But that's the way every game goes at Lindsey Nelson or anywhere else. So I think the most important thing for our club is just to play ball once the umpire says play ball.
All right, very good. Coach, we've got a special jam or not a jam for you today. Fans have embraced your team's identity as sort of the wrestling heels of college baseball this year, sort of the Degeneration X, if you will. I don't know if you saw that video going around earlier this week. So we've got five wrestling entrance themes for jam or not a jam today. I think there could be some good debate on several of these.
That's awesome. I'm behind on that. But I did hear, and maybe this is what that stems from, one, I think the biggest compliments of our environment this last weekend was a big LSU donor made a comment. He didn't know if he was at a WWE wrestling event or if he was at a baseball game when they were playing against us this past weekend. And I think that's an attribute to not just the amount of fans we had, but the rowdiness that our fans had.
Oh, that's fantastic. We'll send you the DX theme that Callum Vall put together for us. Rick showed it to me before the show a couple days ago, Coach, and I literally had tears of laughter and joy running down my face. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So,
sounds good.
We'll let you see that. All right, Bear, what do you got? All right, pretty familiar one to start off there, John Cena.
Yes, yes, and that's a no-doubter jam for sure. That'll get you going. That's a good walkout song for a hitter.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, it's got that iconic intro. People know it as soon as they heard it. Coach says it's a jam. Bear?
I got to go not a jam. I've never liked Cena, and that music just makes me angry, and I keep waiting for somebody else's entrance music that's going to come out and just beat the crap out of him with a steel chair or
wow.
something.
That's, a lot of built-up anger. A lot of built-up anger.
Well, we used to have it as one of our show intros, so I gotta go with Coach here. That's a jam.
All right.
All All right, that's a little old school.
Is that Ted DiBiase? Right oh! Oh!
It is the Million Dollar Man, spoken like a true old school wrestling fan.
I think just the well-groomed beard alone has to make it a jam. Just being tied into that alone is a jam for me.
Every man's got his price.
Yeah, that's a jam.
I'm going to say not a jam just because you remember he told the little boy, if you bounce the basketball 10 times, I'll give you $500. And he got to number 9, and Virgil kicked it away from him.
Kicked it at the end.
Yeah. What a terrible person. I can't.
It was beautiful. Okay, so
a jam with me dissenting.
Oh. Put your hand over your heart, Russell.
You suck. You suck. Ah. Kurt Angle. What a great heel.
I'm trying to decide on that. It's iconic, but that's not a jam for me, and he was a foe. He was one I was cheering against at the time, so not a jam.
Yeah, that's not. I didn't like
it. All right, unanimous. Nobody's going to vote jam for that one. Uh-huh. Kurt Angle, man, he gets under people's skin.
Now we're going back to my days.
All right. He's just a common man, working hard with his hands. This is a little off the beaten path. This one's a little obscure.
Very much. And I'm gonna throw a dart against the board, so don't throw it back at me.
Okay.
Coco Beware?
It's a pretty close, good guess.
Same era.
It's a pretty good guess, yeah.
They did team up a time or two.
That's the American dream, Coach.
Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, Dusty Rhodes with the black shorts, the black trunks, and the blonde hair.
We gonna get funky like the monkey.
He's crazy.
Old Dusty Rhodes. What do you think, Coach?
A jam. I mean, Dusty Rhodes is a legend. God love him. A lot of elbows thrown by that guy for success.
No doubt.
I mean, it's a terrible song, but I'm going to have to go jam just because it's Dusty Rhodes.
Exactly.
The entrance music, a little less threatening back in those
days. That was the 80s.
I'll go with you guys. That's a jam. It's Dusty Rhodes.
All right.
One
last
more.
One.
All right, here we go.
This is how Coach ought to walk out.
That would be good entrance music, Coach.
Either for him or Drew Gilbert.
Yep.
Which wrestler is this? This has to be New Age a little bit.
It's pretty new. This is Vince McMahon, the corporation.
No chance.
Yeah. This is when he comes strutting out.
He is a scoundrel. I'm gonna have to go no jam because I would have liked to have heard Mayor Kane's theme song instead of that one. And Vince is a bit of a scoundrel, as I said.
We'll see if we can cue that up for you next time. I'm going to go jam, man. Great heel music, too. Definitely a scoundrel, as you say, Coach. But, I mean, the guy knew what he was doing when he was getting that crowd riled up. A perpetual thorn in Stone Cold's side.
Yes.
I'm going to go not a jam just because I couldn't stand Vince at that time. Nothing made me happier than when Stone Cold was beating him with the steel bedpan and then defibrillated him.
Good stuff. All right, Coach. Well, here's hoping you guys ride the wave. Before we let you run, last week you told us the anthem for the week was Incubus, R-U-N. We were jamming that last week here on The Drive. Is there a song we're playing to get inspired for this week?
I might have to just come up with one on the fly. I think Ready to Go. I can't remember it's a late 90s song, but just ready to go. I think our guys are patiently waiting. They understand when it's time to relax, you got to relax. When it's time to get ready, you got to get ready. And when Sunday rolls around, they'll be ready to go.
Oh, I remember that. It's Republica, Baby, I'm Ready to Go.
Yeah, a little bouncy jam, you know, nothing, not the most masculine, but off the cuff, like I said, I think it's a deal where our guys be ready to go. And the thing about that game Sunday, it's pretty crazy or wild for me personally that it falls on Father's Day. And I think Tennessee, the state, I hate to admit it, you know, but Vanderbilt's here too, you know, two teams from our state and the father and son sport. you know, big day on that day, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, here's hoping that you guys get to pass around the stinky, unwashed pink daddy hat early and often on Father's Day, Coach.
Amen to that. Players only with that hat, though. Players
yeah, let's keep it off your head.
It would mess up that spectacular Tony Vitello hair, man. I mean, that would be no good.
I appreciate that. Appreciate you guys, too.
Yeah. All right, Coach, go get them.
Will do. Take care.
Tony Vitello on the G3 Help Me Hotline.
Incredible. I was going to suggest, you know, like Ace of Spades by Motorhead, or maybe Hit the Lights by Metallica. Off Metal Up Your Blank.
Hey, man, it's his world. We're living it. If he says Ready to Go by Republica, it is Ready to Go.
I don't remember that song.
By Republica. You'd remember if you hear it.
Huh.
It's got kind of a driving beat. This is a female singer, right?
Yes. Yeah,
baby,
I think
I'm
so.
I'm ready to go.
Oh, God. I'm glad I didn't know it.
It's a good tune. If Coach is jamming it, I'm jamming it. That's why I said the Incubus tune, not really my cup of tea either, but it was his jam, so we're going with it.
This is it?
Yeah. Long intro, acoustic guitar. It's a pretty good tune. Stay with us, folks.
Okay.
The drive continues. Coming up, the shocking conclusion. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. Back to wrap things up after this.
The drive.
Fan Run Radio. The drive continues, wrapping up on a Friday afternoon edition of the show. So I guess Coach Vitello making a little news there. Chad Dallas will get the ball.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was great. Broke a little bit of news there. And I loved what he said about it, too. He said, that has been our guy all year.
That's our guy.
He is always the guy to lead us into battle, and that's not going to change now.
Yeah. I mean, why, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And
what else did he tell us? What was the least surprising thing ever? That daddy, at pink daddy hat,
hadn't been washed.
And smells.
Yeah. I bet that thing has the funk of ages on it.
What are you talking about? What? Like, how many guys are on that team?
Smells like sweat, dirty hair, and victory.
Victory and 20 to 23-year-old guy. Which is not a good smell. I imagine it smells probably pretty similar when we walk in here after talk sports. A bunch of young dudes.
I tell you,
the distinct aroma.
The one thing about having COVID and being, I guess, a long hauler, as they call us.
You smell still not back.
And it's mostly just bad things. It's not, I tell people, it's not debilitating at all, but, like, I can't smell flatulence. I can't smell, like, gasoline doesn't smell the right way to me. And
you know, you got to be careful,
though. It doesn't smell the right way.
It smells different, man.
It's different.
River, do you have this too? You're a long hauler?
Yes.
What?
I had COVID back in November, and I still to this day cannot smell gasoline like I used to, and even a skunk smell.
Yeah. I was walking out of my house. We have skunks all over the place in my neighborhood. And my brother goes, oh, it smells kind of skunky. Last weekend, I could not smell a thing.
Some situations, that'd be a little dangerous.
Yeah, no, that's what I we were talking about.
It's an early warning system.
If there's like a gas leak or something,
I
will be none the wiser.
Or, you know, benzene or toluene or one of the ene chemicals being around it.
The only thing that I find irritating about it is the smell of fresh coffee in the morning. One of the best smells on God's green earth, and to me, it just has this rotten. It smells bad. I still drink it, and it tastes okay, but it does not smell like fresh coffee.
Well, now. I still brew. I don't drink coffee at all.
You brew coffee and don't drink it just to smell it?
Just a cup,
smell. Yeah, that's not strange.
It gets the blood moving in the morning. You set it on your alarm because when you smell it when you're asleep, it'll wake you up. You never notice that? You don't anymore because you can't smell it.
No.
Ha!
That's so crazy that it changes. Changes your smell of gasoline and...
It is what it is. It's not debilitating to me. There are some people, because I've researched it, and like, man, is smell ever going to come back? I don't know. But there are some people who things taste bad to them. Like, I saw this news story, and this guy went out to and the news they went to one of these food courts and they bought him pizza and burgers and all these great foods that this guy says he loves, and he takes like one bite of the burger and he's just like, this tastes disgusting, like I cannot finish it. So I don't have that.
There were some things when I was going through the whole rounds of chemo thing that, like, normally I would destroy food wise that just tasted absolutely like, I did not like sweets at all. Anything with sugar, it tasted disgusting. So, oh God, I didn't tell y'all who I ran into this morning in Nashville at the hospital.
Wow. This better be good.
That idiot, Wes and Franklin.
What?
Yes.
Did they have to get security there immediately, or what happened here?
No, but he did his deal where he's like the king of backhanded compliments. But yeah, I ran into Wes and Franklin down in Nashville this morning.
When's he going to call the show again?
I don't know. Hopefully, maybe when I'm on vacation. The guy's a clown, just a total boob.
I don't know. I think he makes good points every now and then.
He just runs me down all the time.
Like I said, good points. Let's go to the phones. Martin is next.
It's Russell.
Martin.
What have you heard on the Celtics trade with the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Oh, Kemba Walker and a first-round draft pick to the Thunder? I think that's where careers go to die, Martin.
Who all did the Celtics get in that trade?
They got Horford back.
I know that the Thunder, I saw a report just a second ago, are looking to flip Kemba. So I think they're going to send him right on his way.
So there you go.
Wow.
Martin, he doesn't even have to pack his bags for OKC.
All I heard about it was that they sent Kemba Walker in a draft choice to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Al Horford and another player and another draft pick. But I didn't know who the other player was. But say they're going to move Kemba Walker that fast?
It sounds like it. You big NBA fan, Martin?
I keep up with it in the Knoxville News Sentinel.
There you go.
I keep up with the box scores, but I like the Celtics and the Hawks and the Heat.
Celtics and the Hawks and the Heat. Well, one of those teams is still going.
Yeah, but how old is Horford now? I need to know that.
You know what? I was thinking about that, too.
I think he's like 48, wasn't he?
I think he's that old, but see, he was Al on their Horford national championship teams in 07 and 08, so he's got to be mid-30s?
I know 35. He's at least,
35.
He's right at least on the 37 or 38.
35. He's still a young man, Martin. He's got his whole life ahead of him.
Yeah, he's 35. Al Horford is an old-sounding name, though.
Al Horford could have played for the Celtics in the 1960s.
It sounds like one of the dudes who had signed the Declaration of Independence.
I wouldn't go that far. But.
Russell?
Al.
Yeah?
Russell?
Yeah?
When Philadelphia signed Horford, do you know what they signed him for?
No.
A 3-year contract making $30 to $33 million a year.
Oh,
it's good work if you can get it.
1 year
for Al freaking Horford?
Yes. Yeah.
That's an outrage.
He can go out and get you 8 or 10 points a game, but he plays. They said on CBS Sportsline, they said it. The main thing that he likes to play.
I go out and get 7-8 points a game.
He's the top 5 defense centers in the NBA.
Hey, I'll go out and get 7-8 a game. And I'll do it for $800,000 a year. How about that? Save you some money, 76ers. I can choke that game away the other night just like you guys did. Yeah.
If you average 8 points a game, you're worth $15 million in the NBA right now.
I'm in the wrong line of work, Martin.
That's big-time money for 8 points a game, ain't it?
That's ridiculous. What do you think a guy making 8 points a game in 1974 was making, Martin?
Maybe about $25,000.
Yes. And he was happy to get it.
You better believe it.
Martin, great call, man. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Oh, man, love that guy.
You guys got any big Father's Day plans?
Nope.
Just watching baseball.
Watching baseball.
That's all you need.
The Open. It's supposed to rain here on Sunday. It sounds like 60-70% chance.
Voluntary reaction Sunday as soon as the game is over.
Ooh.
Five o'clock or so.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah. Isn't that going to interfere with our Father's Day suppers?
That's all right, man. My dad's going to be out of town, so
we'll
do something some other time.
Where the kid's not
doing for me. We'll do something.
Your kids need to celebrate.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not celebrate talent like this?
I mean, do you really want me to riff on it for a few minutes here right before we leave on a Friday?
All right, last thing before we roll out of here. Is Vol Twitter found out about the Henry T picks, or is that just you, Rick?
Whoa, I do not know. River, did you find this? Oh, Bear's going to lose it.
Vol Twitter has – they did find it, and they screenshotted it multiple times. You can go to his – he tweeted it from his personal account, and there are many Vol fans replying to it with the enlarged screenshot, replying to it like, what are you doing, dude?
So, Bear – Hank T, now at Alabama, went to go take his, I guess, official team photos, the individual photos. So, you know, you're posing and things like that. And you
in his Alabama uniform.
In his full Alabama uniform, number 10 and everything, you can fully see in one of the close-up pictures, on his hand is a white wristband that's turned upside down, or inside out.
It's like tangled.
But, almost, of course, the one part that's kind of rotated back towards the front is a big orange Power T right there on his wrist in his official Alabama uniform photos.
Was he trying to signal us that he's a hostage? I mean, we could go to Tuscaloosa and get the young man.
It's really hard to see. Like, if you're just scrolling past it, you probably wouldn't even notice. See
it. Is it better than when Tunsil and the Ole Miss players had their gas mask bong taped up with orange and white Power T, like, duct tape?
Well, I mean, it's different because it's an official Alabama.
That was an official dope smoking picture that Laramie put out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I've never to this day seen anybody happier than that kid that night. Love Laramie.
If you're
Tunsil.
An Alabama fan, do you care about that at all? If you're a Tennessee fan, do you care? What does it mean?
Oh, no.
How do we interpret that? If you were a Tennessee fan and you saw one of your players in an official team portrait in his Tennessee football uniform with a small Alabama logo,
like Brandon Kennedy
somewhere, you would be like, dude, really?
Yeah, but knowing him and looking at some of the other bracelets, and even though I kind of cursed his name and wished him evil, he's kind of a good kid. What if it's one of those ones that has something to do with a cancer charity that he was supportive of over at UT?
Okay, I mean, that's...
Toa seems like that. There's got to be an explanation. And
maybe
except
just
for the
fact
that the fact that I'm still furious with him for going to Alabama and he's dead to me, he is a really good kid.
Well, that's what I wonder, too. Maybe he
but
just kind of flipped it, but then it got flipped around for the picture. I don't know. You made a really good point before the show today. You were just kind of saying how loyalty is different in today's day and age than maybe others.
These kids don't – they – I'm not going to say they don't get it or they don't understand, but they just look at these schools as brands. They're like bands to them. You like different bands, right? I have my three or four bands that I like. They just look at it like that, and it's like, oh, I can like all these things, whereas fans – and I would – say even players back in the day used to look at it like, no, you have your team and everybody else is everybody. Not only is only one team, but you hate everyone else. They're
your
rivals.
The basis of my life. Yeah.
If you went to a rival school, I feel like you're kind of a traitor on the team.
If Tennessee can't win, I want everyone else to lose.
But these kids don't think it's not just Henry T. I mean, it's a lot of the. You get some old school throwbacks. You get your Juwan Jennings, guys like that come through every now and then. But most of them, they're supportive of everybody else. Oh, man, you go out there, dude, and kill it at Georgia. You go kill it at Alabama, whatever. And they don't look at it as Tennessee and Alabama are blood sport rivals. It's just, hey, I was listening to Led Zeppelin yesterday, and I'm listening to Sabbath today. It's just.
Yeah,
that's why it doesn't. That's why I don't really put much stock into it, and I guess it doesn't really get me that upset because I know their mindset going into
it.
From a Tennessee standpoint,
I'd be willing to bet it's and I can't remember the name of it. I think it's maybe the one that Bruce Pearl started. I bet it's either
the Outlive.
It's either one of those, or it has something to do with Pat Summitt and the Alzheimer's. I guarantee you that wristband's something that he was given when he was supporting some deal over there. So, like I said, kid's dead to me, but he's a really good kid.
All right. Coming up, you got overtime up next. Tennessee takes on Virginia. Sunday, 2 p.m. in Omaha. We are back, baby.
Omaha!
We are back! Voluntary reaction as soon as it's over. Have a great Father's Day weekend. We'll do it again Monday, 3 to 6, here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.